Dan reported too.
No sound on Facebook or Zoom. I think we should start over. No sound on Facebook or Zoom. I think we should start over.
To share something that had kind of been a light bulb moment for me this week. And when I had first started therapy, you know, therapists getting to know you kind of moment, they're like, what would you love to do? I'm like, I would love to lift heavy things, right? Like, I just want to be this like bad A, like strong person that I read books about, right? What I realized is that I'm lifting heavy things in my heart, in my brain. And for those of you who might struggle with this, I just want to encourage you, like, sometimes you get into a period of time where you're maintaining and you're like really handling things well and you're using all of the tools in your toolbox and you're like kicking butt at life. And then something trips you. You fall on the grass or your strap catches on a doorknob or something like that, right? Like those really important hard things. And you start to fall down the hill a little bit. And what I realized in a therapeutic model or whatever, but God has trained me up that hill so much that now I can handle those things. I'm lifting heavier things because I've been up more hills and I've held his hand up more hills. And so now I'm ready, and it's not a relapse. It's not like I'm terrible at life or living or managing emotions. It's that I'm ready to feel more things. I'm ready to like process. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys because I'm sure there's maybe like one or 17 of you who struggle with similar things, but God is conditioning you in the same way a trainer would, right? God is conditioning me. He's showing up. He's giving me harder things because I'm ready. So if you feel like you're being challenged, I just encourage you to maybe like pause and look back and see where you've been coming from. And maybe you're being challenged because you're ready. So, and always look up. That's it.
All right, anyone else? No? Let's pray for Harvey and Carol and all the other people that are struggling with cancer. We have close friends that are doing the same. And Heavenly Father, we just, we lift these people up that are struggling with this wicked disease, Father. And we know you're close. We pray that you would strengthen Dan's granddaughter, give her peace, and his wife and his family and friends, Father. He's close to so many, and for Carol, Father. And Father, we just pray for, I don't know if there's any such thing, but easy chemo treatments, Father. Just help them through it without complications. And I pray, Father, that you would just take the cancers away. We promise to give you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I was a little kid, we lived in a bungalow, and my bedroom was the whole top floor. And when I first moved up there, I got scared a lot. So my dad would say, well, just say the name Jesus, and he'll be there. Well, as a little kid, I wasn't going to do that because that would scare me to death. So I never said it. But as I got older, I learned that that was true. Not in the literal sense, but in the spiritual sense, of course. And I've learned the older I get that just speaking his name brings power. His name alone has power. And this next song talks about that. And like Heather, I've been through therapy. I've been in therapy for years, and I highly recommend it if you haven't. Therapy and Jesus go a long way. Maybe a little medication every once in a while, too. but throwing Jesus in the mix makes everything better. So I encourage you to speak his name more often because there is power in that one name. So let's stand and sing this song this morning.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and mind. 'cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Shadows burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus. often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Greg. Welcome to Genesis. If you fill out a physical green card, you can place it in the wooden box at the back of the sanctuary. That green card's in your pew. We also have digital ones, and it's just to tell us about you, if you have any prayer requests or want to know any more information. That wooden box is also where you can place any offerings you may have brought with you. Genesis is fully funded by your faithful and generous giving and cannot function without your financial support. If you call Genesis your church home, or even just a safe space to be on Sunday mornings, we ask you to consider giving towards our vision and changing the world by creating spaces of belonging, helping individuals identify and develop their calling, and taking action for the good of others. Thanks for your giving. We have elder nominations coming up, and Genesis has a group of volunteers to help give wisdom and oversee the life of this community. The elders work with the pastors, staff, and community as we pursue the life of Jesus together. We are looking for some new elders, and we need your help for nominations. Who do you see that lives and loves like Jesus? Who seems to live out the values of this community? And you can write their names on a physical or digital nomination form. I'm not sure where those are. You'll have to ask Bo. And then, Amanda, you're going to share about Context Matters.
Good morning again. I don't know if you've seen the little flyers we have out there. Jenny Riegel and I are going to host a 4-week Bible class, or, you know, Bible study. And if you're like me, you're like, I've read the Bible. What else can you teach me? I have a couple questions for you. One, do you read the board, and if you come up to something and you don't understand it, you just kind of skip over it? Raise your hand. Go ahead. There's freedom in it. Or do you have a hard time reconciling what I used to call Old Testament God and New Testament God, where he seemed really mean in Old Testament and all of a sudden nice in the New Testament. And you can't reconcile that. Think about those things when you're deciding whether or not you want to come. If you were to look at a family's text thread and you read through, and there are these different inside jokes, you know, that you don't quite get because you're not a part of that family, because you don't exactly know the code. That's kind of like reading the word, where we look at the Bible through our 21st century westernized lenses, and we miss a lot. I miss a lot of understanding those things. So we're gonna do these classes by using Shane Willard's, some of Shane Willard's teaching series. He will be here on May 21st. So the way we've set it up is that we'll have a few classes and then he'll come so you can bring all of your questions. He loves all the questions that people are afraid to ask. He loves those kinds of things. So you'll, have those questions. Now, I'm not saying that I will have all the answers. Jenny won't have all the answers. Shane Willard won't have all the answers, but the point is we will get to learn more about who our Father is. And as Shane says, the scriptures get bigger, not smaller. You know, Father wants to give us wisdom. So just come and we can be together and we can sit together and we can learn together. So hopefully we'll see you there. And the first one is the 21st, and it goes every Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and the 22nd will be the last one. Hopefully I've gotten everything. If I didn't, someone will let me know. But the flyers are up at the garden table. So hopefully we'll see you there. If you have any questions, pull me or pull Ginny Regal, and we'll answer those questions for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda. In addition to that group, we have other groups opportunities. So we are calling them pillar groups. So we're starting a couple groups at the end of April that will focus on pillars, creating spaces of belonging, helping individuals identify and develop their calling, and taking actions for the good of others. So that's what the groups are focused on. And they will go weekly for 8 to 10 weeks, and indicate on the connection card if you're interested, and we'll have some staff follow up. We also have a financial wellness workshop. Jackie, can you raise your hand? So Jackie's going to be leading, teaching a set of 4 simple habits that will help you gain control of your money. So that's going to be Saturday, May 11th from 10 to 11:30 here at Genesis. We also have a new to Genesis meet and greet. So if you are new to Genesis, we want to learn more about this community, join us. It's actually tonight at mine and my wife's home in Pleasant Ridge. So it's from 6 to 8, and we're going to have dessert and coffee. And so if you need the address, you can come find me after. I'll also say it quick, but it's 24 Kensington Boulevard in Pleasant Ridge. So it's just a mile away. But you can also find me afterwards, and that's 6 to 8 tonight. We also have our annual camping trip to Camp Layal Memorial Weekend. So that's May 24th through 27th. It's a great time. We went last year. And it's first come, first serve on the cabins. And it's rustic camping, but with electricity. So you got to bring your own bedding and personal items and cooking stuff. And so you can join for the whole weekend or just a few days or whatever works well with your schedule. We will have a potluck on Saturday, May 25th at 1. So please bring your own meat and a dish to pass. And it's a really great time. We played a lot of games and had a lot of laughs. So I look forward to that. And that's all my announcements. Thanks for bearing with me through that long list. But now we have connection time. So please say hi to someone nearby.
Good morning. Welcome. So glad to have you. My name is Bo. Today I had COVID last week, but my family didn't get it. So that was the first time I got COVID. I gave it to everyone in the family. This time no one got it. So thank you, God. We are teaching on they're called the Beatitudes. It's in Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus gave one of his most pronounced sermons, I guess you'd call it, or teachings, that is captured in the scripture, he has this prelude to it. And the prelude is so interesting. The prelude are these 8 form blessings that Jesus proclaims out. This is found in Matthew 5, and these blessings are called the Beatitudes, which means blessings. And what's so interesting about these blessings, there's nothing for you to do. This is not how you get blessed. This is just Jesus giving us proclamation. You can almost call it the Constitution. The Constitution is seen by Jesus. So before he goes into all of these teachings of hey, this is not good and this is good, and here's some ethics of the kingdom, here's what you should do, here's how you should live, here's how you should pray, here's how you should engage in life, here's all these things to know and to do and to engage in, he begins with this. And that's significant for us. And so we're going to kind of breathe these in over the course of 8 weeks and see if we can hear maybe what Jesus was intending for his audience to hear when he spoke these out over them, and they could receive. They could hear it with fresh ears. So that's our hope, is that we'd be able to hear these blessings as Jesus intended them and receive them, share them, give them. And so today we begin with the first blessing. And so I kind of feel a little bit all over the place. Today is a discussion Sunday. We really want to get into groups here relatively quickly. So I'm going to do my best to edit as much as I can. And so Holy Spirit, come and edit so that we can actually have a conversation with you and with each other and learn and share our own experiences. So may the ramblings and my ramblings, and maybe even our own ramblings, benefit each other. Open our eyes to the beauty of your proclamation. Amen. All right, Matthew 5, here's the blessing. So Jesus pulled all of his people together. Now Jesus saw the crowds, and he went up on a mountainside, and he sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And to get us to have a conversation about this proclamation of blessing that Jesus did, kind of want to look at all these things that would make it harder for us to understand. What in the world is Jesus saying when he says blessed? What in the world is Jesus saying when he says poor in spirit? And what in the world is Jesus saying when he says the kingdom of heaven? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So let's start with blessed. And so you got a Bible, you look at the Greek term, you try to decipher what this is. Many people have written what this word means. What does it mean to be blessed? It means fortunate, well off, favored, blissful, maybe even happy, or human flourishing. Every society has had a script that said, this is who the blessed are, and this is what blessing looks like. This is how we equate blessing. And in Jesus's day, those who were around him, when they heard that script, they lived a script that said blessing was equated with empire, wealth, and ease. And Jesus is kind of taking that script and flipping it and saying, no, blessing is not equated with empire, wealth, or ease. In a book that I've been reading by Micah Boylett, Blessing for the Rest of Us, she says, oh, Jesus is flipping the script, and he delivers an unexpected list of blessing that the listeners of Jesus would have understood in their daily struggles as oppressed people in a brutal empire. And hearing Jesus saying, oh no, these are the ones who will flourish. The early church, when they heard this term blessing, it came to mean an ultimate joy of sharing in the life of God. The blessing was you shared in God's life. And this blessing is extended to us all. And it means to participate in the life of the fullness of God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and participating in this eternal, joyful, other-centered dance that is always taking place between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when Jesus talks about this blessing, he's not talking about future heaven. He's talking about now. This blessing is not on a little longer and the blessing will come. It says, no, the blessing is now. At the heart of blessing, it's about deep connectedness and intimacy with God. Deep connectedness and intimacy with God. This is what blessing is. Unfathomable love, perfect love being poured out upon us. That's blessing. The poor in spirit are a poverty of spirit. This is about dependency. Now, poverty is absolutely economic, but in Matthew, he's widening it, not just to be economic. And the word poverty in this one was not just the mass majority of people who were poor and the daily struggle was hard. No, it was the people who were destitute, were worthless, were begging. Absolute poverty. But Matthew makes this wider and calls it even a spiritual poverty, this poor of spirit, that they're dependent. And the poor in spirit is to abandon one's self-reliance and total commitment to Jesus. Realizing that we need the Lord's help and mercy more than anything, and acknowledging our utter dependence upon God. Brian Zan says that poor in spirit could be described as people who were poor at being spiritual. They were not good at being spiritual. They were not the spiritual elite. They were not the spiritual flourishing. They were actually not good at it. The spiritual zeros, the spiritually bankrupt. The poorest of the poor, the ones deemed unnecessary to society, the rejected. The ones who were poor and they feel crushed by it. It's a poverty that you feel. That's what some would say the spiritually poor are. Not only is there economic portions to it, but you feel it emotionally and mentally and spiritually, just crushed. Steve Stewart, in his book, The Beatitudes for a Time of Crisis, says that this idea that when Jesus talks about the poor in spirit, he's speaking to those who've embraced the process with two parts. The first part is for those who realize that they are fundamentally needy. This is not that they're just going through a hard season. The fundamental need is this is who they are. Fundamentally needy. How does that strike you? If you were like, I'm fundamentally needy. Is that a positive descriptor? It's usually one we press against. But the poor in spirit are fundamentally needy. Not just through a hard season, but who they are. And so it says there's a two-part process, fundamentally needy, and part two. So rather than resisting this neediness and weakness, they embrace it. It's the courage to accept acceptance. It's the courage to accept the acceptance. You're needy. You're fundamentally needy. And to accept it. Not to push against it. Not to buck against it. Not to try to prove otherwise. Not to have to prove your value or your self-sufficiency or your reliance on yourself. The courage to accept our acceptance. The poor in spirit understand and feel deeply within that they're nothing in themselves, and they are only something because they're loved by God. And so I don't know how, when you read it, when Jesus says, oh, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And if you hear this idea of those who feel crushed at life and crushed of spirit, those who feel needy, if you're like, oh, that's me. That's me. I feel it. And sometimes I think it's just a season. I want it to be just a season, but Jesus says, oh no, it is life. Accept it. In our great spiritual poverty and our utter lack, we have the capacity to fully experience the truth of who God says we are. And with that, the unlimited joy he experiences in relationship with us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Many say that the Beatitudes could also be a biography of Jesus. That Jesus was the one of poor in spirit because he's the one who empties himself. He's the self-emptying one who becomes human and empties himself. And Philippians 2 talks about this. He pours himself out for the good of others and for the love of us. Even in obedience to pour his life out as death in order to give us life. To be poor of spirit is to be needy and vulnerable. And this is where we experience the perfect love of Jesus, who accepts us in our nakedness, if we can accept it as well. The kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom. So what is this kingdom that Jesus is describing that is available now and that is not a future time? He said the kingdom of God is simply life in Jesus, life in Christ, being aware of him in the things and people that surround us, not mattering where we are. The kingdom could be described in John 14 when Jesus said, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. What is available is union with God, where God was saying, I am in you. You're in me. This is what you have. My life right now. You are valuable. Richard Rohr describes the kingdom as this, that which is really real. The ultimate truth of life. The ultimate truth is our invitation to live lives of meaning, joy, and participation in the restoration of all things. It's an invitation to allow the inclusive love of God to be the center of our orbits, drawing us in and keeping us in rotation around what's most true, which is God is with us, for us, here and right now. When Jesus was saying the kingdom of God is available to them, he wanted them to imagine a world where divine love was in charge, where every part of their lives pulsed around that love, even in their daily existence that was dictated by violence and oppression and struggle and weariness, that the pulse of love was driving around them and was available for them and us today. And in this declaration that Jesus makes before he teaches, he announces to the poor in spirit, to the needy, to the broken, to the struggling being crushed, he makes a promise of saying, I am here. I am bringing a whole and flourishing life, especially for you, the spiritually poor. The kingdom is yours. this is a blessing for empty people, for marginalized people, for the miserable, in which the poor and the poor in spirit are invited into the place of honor. And Jesus is announcing God is especially there and here with you. The kingdom of God is life in Christ. This is the great treasure. The Beatitudes are not teaching us how to be blessed. They are not instructions to do anything. Today, as you hear this blessing, they're not like, oh, how do you get it? They're not instructions for you to do something. Rather, they're declaring Jesus' truth, Christ's truth, his ultimate reality. The Beatitudes are an invitation to already enjoy what is yours. Blessing. Intimacy and connection with Jesus. There's a teaching in John, in 1 John, where this disciple of Jesus say the thing that keeps us away from God is fear. And it's the fear of being punished. We're afraid that if we come with all of our neediness and all of our brokenness and all of our poverty, that we're going to be punished just for who we are. And John says, oh, if you've got your mind on punishment, then you actually haven't experienced perfect love. Because perfect love drives this away. It drives away that fear that says, oh, you're naked. You're shameful. You're broken. It's the perfect love of God that declares over the poor, the zeros, the broken, the marginalized, the struggling, you're blessed. And the love of God is for you and with you and in you and available. Breathe it in, favored ones of God. Receive. And so again, the invitation for us today is to already enjoy what is ours. Blessing through the person of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we've got 3-4 questions. We've got some group leaders who we want to sit down and just get you a chance to talk about this blessing of Jesus, for you to process this together. Can I have the facilitators to stand up? Can you stand up and raise your hand so we can get people to kind of come around you in your little pockets? And so if you're near somebody, another leader, you may want to spread out a little bit, but our longing is to have 6 to 8 people around each person. I'll have a discussion as well. I'll be leading one up right up here in the front. Again, this is 20 minutes, and we'll be done. And we're going to take communion afterwards with these little, with our little communion packets that the leaders will take you through at in your pockets. So we have 20 minutes, and this is where we get to learn and process and hear and discern and read this blessing of Jesus and take it in and breathe it out and share our insights and understanding with each other. So gather around in a little pocket for 15 minutes around the people who are standing up. And then we'll dismiss you in the end after we take communion.